So welcome everyone and to our second webinar. We'll be picking up where we left, inshallah, on the Sulha process once Majid and Tahir are able to join us. Meantime, let's start with the Fatiha and go from there. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Amin. So welcome. Is Rahma and Zainab here? Is that right? And Radia?
Yeah, I'm with Majid as well.
Majid is here?
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah. Good. Wa alaikum salam. Good. We're still waiting for Tahira, I think. And two people, at least on telephone, I can't see the names. Habiba is here and Noura. Great.
And we have 531 is Rahma Kara, and I'll change the number right now. And 451, who is 451?
415.
I mean, yes, 415. Who is 415?
It's Sanam. It's Sanam.
Sanam. Thank you, Sanam.
Yeah. Oh, good. Were you able to contact Tahira Rahima?
Yeah, I'm contacting her.
Okay, good.
If we need to unmute on telephone, how do we do that?
The same way. You just unmute yourself.
Oh, okay, because my phone doesn't show me as muted. I'm not on Zoom. I'm on a phone call, so it looks just like a normal phone call. But okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you perfectly.
Okay, so I'll just mute myself because I'm driving, so I don't want to disrupt. So.
Perfect. Yeah. Thank you.
Good. Okay. So I sent out a set of slides earlier on, and I just want to use the time while we're waiting for Tahira. To just take any questions that you have from that. I didn't want to spend time on the slides tonight, but I wanted you to have them just as a background to what we're doing. And go back to the beginning. So we're still on the first topic of the reconciliation. And the second topic is peace in Islam. And so I'll review some of the Islamic roots of Sulha reconciliation as we review that next time. But I think maybe, what I want to highlight is that there is some written work required for you to get credit for these webinar classes with me. I'm just asking each of you to send in half a page or so by email to my email address, as you can see. Or you'll be able to see from the recording if you're on phone, or from the email that I sent out earlier. And send that to me by, preferably sooner, but at least by the end of next month, the end of March. Our last of the three webinars will be about a week before the end of March. So I'd like to have them back by the end of March and make sure you get credit for these classes. And the first question is just in relation to Sulha. Just give an example how you have reconciled with a family member, friend, or colleague after feeling triggered or blamed or otherwise in separation from them. In other words, what I'm wanting to do is really encourage you to find an opportunity to adapt this reconciliation process to your life. What is its relevance and usefulness for you in terms of reconnecting and or healing a connection between you and someone else by stepping into responsibility on your part? You don't need to have a mediator. You can just do it one-on-one with another person, or if there's two other people that would like help from your facilitation, then if you feel ready to do that, yeah, you can go ahead and do it that way. And second one is on peace in Islam. Identify two examples where Sharia principles have been widely distorted in the service of the nafs, and how they may be more deeply understood as expressions of divine love. And so that's a discussion we'll have next time. And also the third topic that was set for this webinar series for us to cover in March was an introduction to Shura. Now, Shura is included as part of Sulha, so you will have an introduction through experience in today's session. And we'll also look at the background, the roots of Shura in Islam. And the question is, what's the relationship between Shura and democracy? It's not a simple question, but answer from what you understand, what it means to you. I'm not asking you to do a bunch of research on it, but just where you're up to and your understanding of the two concepts and how they relate to each other. And so if you can send those in, it's not an overwhelming amount to do, but I would like to see some written work back where you're actually that is designed to help you think more deeply, integrate more deeply what we're able to cover in these three classes. Okay. Just again, one of my favorite diagrams where it really represents the electromagnetic field of the heart and the shape that that field takes as a like an apple, if you like, from the outside, or the inner core can also be represented like a donut hole. But the special nature of this field is such that it can resonate and both transmit and receive knowledge through that field. And so that the communication of the heart, the hearing through the heart, the speaking from the heart, is a very real phenomenon that I want you to understand. And that same field is a communication with the divine heart, the heart of all that is. And I use some Quran quotes on the Silha so that you recognize how fundamental it is to the teaching in the real Islam. And we can spend some time on this tomorrow, our next third class, but I won't take longer on it now, unless you have a specific question on any aspect of it. Same with the next few slides. We'll come back to it more next time, but I wanted you to review it this time. So if you have questions, I can take those. And again, the Islamic teaching in how fundamental silha or reconciliation is to walking the way of the love. More hadith. And recognizing how important an understanding of mirroring is in order to give us the opening to reconcile with someone who may have triggered us. In other words, an understanding of mirroring gives us the necessary step to be able to step out of blame and into self-responsibility. So the quote from Reality of Gnosis you're probably familiar with: all existing entities are ranks of your being related to you. Nothing manifests to you except that which is you and from you. From this station, whoever sees good, let him praise Allah, because it means Allah is showing him his or her own place in the journey by revealing himself to her as the reality of the mirroring that is taking place with the divine. So we shift from seeing the weaknesses in another, it's just starting to see the divine in them as the face of Allah, then this is definitely worth sending our appreciation back to Allah. And if he sees otherwise, let him only blame himself. So if you dislike a shortcoming in one rank, then work to remove the shortcoming from yourself and you'll not see its traits. So this is the insight that allows us to move easily into silha whenever we find ourselves in separation. Next slide is an alternative way of summarizing silha. Some of you were sort of having a little difficulty last time with the way I summarized it. I move for an insight into the be more accessible for Sufis. This version, this summary, is more generally accessible to people. If you're explaining it to them and they're not Sufis, and any Sufi words I've got in there, Islamic words, I've got in parentheses, so you know that they're not required for someone who doesn't have the background. It's a universal process. It's not just dependent on your particular faith. Okay. And well, the exercise what we already have laid the foundation for, and I'm trusting that we'll hear back from Tara and we can complete that today.
Here's
alhamdulillah. All right, and at the end of the class, I want to ask if you would be willing to send me a quick text or email. I've given you both my cell number and my email there on this last slide, which you have in your email if you're not seeing it online. If you are linking by phone right now, just check your email. I sent these slides earlier today, so you have the whole thing. All right, so questions on those will defer till next time. Or if you know, if you would like to get some questions answered before then either we can take a little extra time at the end of this class, or you can contact me one-on-one by text or email, okay? There's a lot of material in there I would like you to review after the class if you haven't already. Okay, what I can do is park it here. Yeah. Was there a question there somewhere? Did we hear someone speak? No. Okay. All right. So in this alternative mapping of the Sulha process, first step we've already done with talked with Najat to identify the issues that are coming up, particularly between the two sisters. And recognizing that other stakeholders would include the other family members. At this point, we're choosing to start with just the two sisters and brother that are most directly involved. And we've already confirmed their commitment to participate as family members. And that we've confirmed their openness to the reconciliation process and to their willingness to work with Majid as facilitator, or with me in this case too, as facilitator. But I'm actually role-playing the role that Majid could choose to play with his sister. And the two sisters being, the youngest being Tahir, and the second youngest being Radia. Okay, so rather than going through this and explaining it, I'll just begin the process. If everyone feels ready to proceed from here. Remember, my request last time was that those who are not directly involved in the role play this time, the three of you, or three of us, could really be in remembrance, be in alignment with the law in your heart, and connect with the hearts of those that are involved from the love to support us, support them in walking through the process. Maybe one thing I should do before we step into that is to review some of the points that were made. Let's see, and checking with Majid if he wants to add anything. But as I understand it, that Tahir and Radia, two sisters, haven't been talking with each other for several months now. And that it's really, Tahir has initiated that by refusing to talk with Radia, giving her the cold shoulder. And Radia's in a place where she doesn't really understand what the problem is with Tahir, doesn't know what her burden is, and is choosing not to go to her to ask, just waiting to see if or when she might be willing to talk again. So this for her is an opening that she's happy to respond to, that Majid has talked with her and she's been willing to meet. And so that's the meeting that we'll be role-playing here. And part of it is that as we step into these roles, we step into it from a place of prayer, a place of asking Allah's blessing on this whole family, and particularly the people whom we're asking on the inner for permission to put ourselves in their shoes for this moment and do our best to be able to find a path to reconciliation, to a path to mutual understanding, mutual empathy, and self-responsibility. I also understand that after her mother got cancer, she thought it was better to reconcile with Radia, that was a place where she was at school to pick up her kids, and she asked Radia if she would give her phone numbers so she could call her, and Radia responded that, "Why do you want my number?" And Tahir felt offended by that. So, and Tahir suspects that Radia's son is a dental student at this point, good-looking guy, that he's up to no good in some way. That although he is denies any inappropriateness on his part, that Radia was deeply hurt by the suspicion that Tahir held of her son. So that's some insight as to what's going on between them. That Radia, she was the son's like second mom, and so this is a big issue for her, and she is upset with Radia for not being on board with reconciling, not being willing to talk by phone. Okay, so are there any questions on that, or anything that I've gotten wrong or needs clarifying, or any additional insights that you'd like to give, Majid?
Yeah, that was, I think 99% was accurate there. Just one thing I think is probably important is that they're both in a place now where actually neither is, they're kind of digging in their heels a little bit, and they don't want to approach one another, and they don't want to reconcile, and they don't want to. So this is kind of, this is the reality of where we are now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah. Who's this?
This is Radia.
Yes.
I'm just wondering, since I'm going to be doing the role playing, how is it possible one sister didn't have the other sister's phone number? If they're that close. Is that like an insult jab, or am I missing a cultural thing here?
No. What it is that, it's another very long story, but I'll be as brief as I can. You recently changed your phone number because another one of your sisters was driving you crazy with her incessant phone calls because she was going through a rough time. And so you changed your phone number and very few people know it.
Oh, got you. Okay, thank you.
You've kind of been the cushion absorbing everyone's negativity and depressive episodes in the family. And I think you just got to a point where enough was enough.
Alhamdulillah. Okay,
Alhamdulillah.
Good.
So changing the phone wasn't a response to Tara. It was a response to the other sister.
Okay. Yeah.
Salaam alaikum. I can add in that I spoke to Tahara maybe a few months ago, saying, oh, you know, maybe you should reach out again. Maybe Radia was just, you know, you just kind of caught her off guard, and maybe if you tried again to reach out, it would be different. And she said to me something along the lines, and I do paraphrase, so I'm sorry, but it was along the lines of, oh, I don't want negativity in my life anyway. Kind of saying that she, at this point, she doesn't really want to reach out, because even if they were to be speaking again, Aradia is so negative that she doesn't. But I definitely read that as just a kind of an avoiding the question or avoiding the possibility, because one of the people that she hangs out with quite a lot is known to be quite negative. So I don't know, but it was just I was just surprised that was her answer. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So in spite of the role play, I think the reality is that neither of them would probably sit down anytime soon to
think both of them don't want to make the first move.
Yeah. So then just, for you, Majid, that may mean that you may choose or not to see if you can provide the oil, if you like, to be able to open the door between them.
Maybe, inshallah. Maybe.
Independent of that, independent of how you find that, how you want to feel your way through that. And you know, how much confidence you have based on the work we are able to do in these short classes, independent of that, just opening the issue through role play like this.
Sorry, say that again.
I'm just saying whether or not you're actually able to bring the sisters together.
Yep.
And to talk. Opening the issue through this role play opens doors on the inner for them.
Okay.
Okay.
Sure.
Whether it's enough for them to be willing to talk or not, or how it may benefit them, we don't know. But I really want the two sisters particularly, and everyone in the room, to be able to hold this group as if it's the family.
Inshallah.
And step in, recognizing these two, you know, the issues between them are, it's not just impacting them, it's impacting the whole group of siblings and the whole family.
Lovely, inshallah. Sheikh, sorry, can I just make one request, please?
Yes.
The Maghrib Adhan has just happened and I don't want it to be on my mind whilst we're trying to do the role play. Would you just give us 3 minutes? So just pray the 3 rakah and then we'll be back. And would that be all right?
I can take questions while you're away.
Okay, if the group doesn't mind, please. I'll be back in 3 or 4 minutes max.
Okay.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. So any questions while we're waiting for Majid to complete his prayer? Radia and Tahir, you feel both ready to go? Okay. Now, I wonder if could you both put yourself on video so that we can have that more direct connection with you? I can see you right here. And I'm not Tahir yet. Are you able to get on video?
Yes.
I'm not seeing you. I wonder what's going on. Ah, there you are. Okay, good. Let's see if we can.
And we have Leila unmuted. I wonder, Leila, do you have a question, Leila Schenk?
Hi. No, I'm not sure why I'm unmuted. Thank you.
Okay. Rahima, do you have do you know a way of shifting the order of these so we can see both Radia and Tahir at the same time?
I don't. There's a way that we can. Every one of the we can view everybody. Let me just.
Doesn't allow me to do smaller shift.
Assalamu alaikum, Abdul Qadir.
Yes.
Yes, it's Habiba. I was just I had a question. I know to be in remembrance about this situation as it's being role played, and my question is this. I kind of made a decision a couple of days ago to step back from a relationship with my father for some boundary issues when he's been very cruel towards me on Sunday, particularly in front of my son. And then yesterday I got a call from him. He left a message because he is out of his diabetes medication since Sunday. Mm. And he does this frequently. And I'm wondering if I can like kind of be also like thinking about the relationship with my father while this is going on between the two sisters, or if that's not appropriate, or what you suggest.
I think while we're in this role play, it's better that you be fully with the sisters, okay? Before we start, make a prayer that will also help your father, okay? The fact that you are doing deep work in reconciliation will automatically impact your life. It's like with healing. When we heal, the healer gets healed at least as much as the client, okay? So if you can approach this with that in mind, then it's better that you trust Allah's response to your prayer in that way. Okay?
Wonderful. Yeah. Thank you. That's what I suspected. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Abu Qadir, I was able to... just put in screen the participants that have video, but I am able to do that in my computer, but I don't know if it affects how you view your own computer.
Okay. Yeah, sometimes it seems that the order of the pictures can change. Maybe what we could do
did it affect anything? I kind of changed the settings so only the people know. No? Oh, okay.
No, it didn't. I wonder if Habiba, if you could get offline and then get on again, that might allow an automatic shift, because I think the pictures are staying in the order that people got online. So if you were to get off and then get on again, that would shift Radia one step closer to Taha.
Sure, let me try that.
Great. Perfect. good. Now, let's see, where is... Majid's going to be joining us later, so that's not going to work for him. So, Habibi, are you back?
Yes, alhamdulillah. Did that,
yeah, that worked. It worked perfectly, thank you. We've got Ta and Radia both on video now. And I'm not going to be able to get... easily get magic on. You're back, alhamdulillah. Good. So, Majid, I've got a question for you.
Yep.
Would you be willing? Oh, good. Looks like we've lost Radia again. So, could you do the same thing again? We need to shift Radia one step closer again now that Majid is back.
I'm here. Can you not see me?
Oh, good, good. You've shifted. You've jumped across my screen. All right, good. Now we have all three of you. Thank you. So, Habib, you're good where you are. Okay, so yeah, Majid, I was going to ask you if you would prefer that you and I co-facilitate here. I'd be lead facilitator. You would be working with me. So that if there's anything that occurs to you in the conversation, in you in role as a brother facilitating this process, could maybe add if there's an insight that comes that's relevant to the process as we run through it. Okay?
Yeah.
That work for you? Good.
Yeah.
I'll give you a chance to step in, but only step in role as mediator, as co-facilitator. All right?
Okay.
So if there's anything else you need to or you would like to give as background, I think you had something in mind. Or was there anything else in mind that you had to add?
No, I think I wanted to tell you about both of their stubbornness in these latter stages. that was probably it, really.
Okay. All right. Now, what you're doing here is not trying to be a perfectly realistic instance of how the two sisters might be when they come together, if they come together physically. But you're really speaking from a deeper place in their hearts, okay? This is your intention, is to be putting yourself in the shoes, putting your holding their heart in yours, okay? And so you come from a deeper place than they may be ready for right now, potentially. And so while you need to get into their shoes, including the reality of the resistance that they're feeling, it's going to be easier for you to move with that and through that than it might be for them right now. Okay? So I want you to be as realistic as you can in getting in there, but also like you to imagine yourself in a place where their hearts are more open, perhaps or more ready to open than we heard from Majid. Okay? So, good. So we've already made the opening prayer. I'll just review and step into the role now and just want to welcome all of you to our reconciliation process and thank you for your trust in allowing me to accept an invitation in response to Majid's request to come and work with you. And I realize that this is not a difficult conversation to have. And I really want to acknowledge the courage that it takes to be able to open the conversation that's been cut for so long. And a couple of the things that will help us be fully in the process without distraction that I would suggest is that if there's anything that well, in order that you might be free to bring up something that you consider confidential between you, we accept a, I propose a ground rule that you accept a rule of confidentiality. In other words, nothing personal that is being said during this process is shared with anyone else at any time without the express permission of the others present here now. Okay, we can come back to the end, come back to this question at the end of the process. And if there's something that you need to ask the other about, if this is okay to talk about with so-and-so, you can do that then, but not now. We want freedom to be able to hold everything as confidential unless we give permission and agree otherwise. Also, any cell phones? I'm silencing my cell phone right now. If we could turn them off or silence them so we're not going to be interrupted. And let us have this time as an uninterrupted space. Are you both comfortable with those two roles for the session?
Yes.
Three of you?
Yes.
And third one, I want to ask or propose that you make a commitment to complete this session. Even if something is upsetting, you're welcome to call a break so you can talk with me about it or talk with Majid and I about it as you prefer. Or just talk with Majid about it, and to discuss what is going on for you, why you're hesitant to complete the process, and be open to our support. In perhaps we can change the ground rules at some point to give you whatever you need to continue in a way that you feel is constructive and useful. Okay. So, in other words, a commitment not to stop the process unilaterally without first consulting and seeing if we can find a way to complete. You both okay with that? All three of you?
Yes.
Indeed. And the last one is, well, I guess I covered them both there. If at any time you feel you need a break in order to be able to talk about something or for any other unexpected reason, that is urgent enough to take a couple minutes break, then we can do that. Is that okay with you?
Yes.
Great. Okay. All right. So we've completed the Thakya prayer, and to help you choose to open your heart and to be fully present, not just physically, but emotionally, spiritually, as present as you can be. And you can just take a moment to open your heart to God's presence. And make whatever feels appropriate to you to support you in this process and to help you support each other. Alhamdulillah. So So I'm keeping this short because we are short of time. So I'll be brief. But we've already discussed or reviewed the process with you. So we'll move straight into the first round. And Rudy, I'll ask if you'd be willing to speak first, just in terms of describing your experience of what's been happening so far, or what's not been happening between you, what's not been spoken between you over these past several months, and just share with us what's the truth of the situation for you, and what, so that we understand the what's the issue for you, what's the concern that has prevented either of you from connecting with the other over this time.
Okay. So my main thing is that, you know, I love my son dearly, and if anyone was to have concerns about him, as a grown man, I would hope that the concerns would either be directed exactly to him or perhaps to me, rather than discussing around the whole family. And therefore, you know, if someone has an issue with my son and his integrity, then I really don't have any interest in having a relationship with them, because it's so fundamental, core to my being, that I know who my son is. And if someone's missing that, we probably don't have very much in common, and I'm probably not very interested in spending any time with them. And of course, I'd be cordial, you know, with everything going on with our mom. Yeah, but as far as I'm concerned, you know, there would need to be some explaining on that front. Was that, like, what are you talking about? And why are you talking behind our back and not to our face when you're so close, you have been so close to us? That breaks all kind of trust, and it's totally disrespectful, and I'm over it. I guess that's what I would feel.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is that what's behind the separation from your point of view is that the deep love that you feel for your son, and that that in hearing that Tahir had been talking about her concern about your son with others in the family without talking with you or your son directly, that that felt like a violation of integrity or trust between you, and that was, if I'm hearing you, very upsetting for you, and that what you're needing is openness and trust with Tahir, and respect for your position as mother to your son, and so that you know, it feels also there's a need for a sense of integrity. In other words, that they're not speaking about you or your son without it being open to them as well, right? That so you want the openness and the rather than talk that doesn't include you when it's about you, doesn't include your son when it's about your son. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, I think that's it.
Okay, thank you. I'm so tired. Would you be willing to share what's been going on for you, what has been preventing you from being in contact with Radia over these few months?
I do love your son very much, Radia, as you will know.
Could you speak a little louder? I'm barely hearing you.
I do love your son, Radia, as you well know. And when I suspected something he was doing that wasn't moral, I came to you and I shared with you my concern, but you did not talk to me in the place of love and you brushed me off and ignored me.
So what did that feel like?
For me or for Radia?
I'm sorry?
For me, how does it feel like for me or Radia?
For you.
I felt deeply hurt knowing how much I love him and how close I felt I was with him. And I thought he knew about that relationship. Of how much I love him as my own.
Yeah. So it seems like you were shocked at Radia's response, right?
I was very hurt.
Hurt, yeah. Okay. Yeah. And, so it felt, it feels like what you were looking for, what hurt was the lack of respect, that you were needing respect and openness at that time in when you spoke with her. Not is that right?
Not respect, no, not respect, but I just wanted to be recognized in a place of love, that how much I love this boy. And I think my feeling was hurt because of the comment you made, that it was very out of like, carelessness or something like that. Like it wasn't my business, something. You said something very hurtful, but like it's not your business or something like that. That was very hurtful.
Yeah. Okay, so... So needed recognition for the closeness with which you hold her son, and the love that you hold for her son. That needed that you needed to feel recognition for that. Is that right? Yeah. Okay. Did you want to add something, Majid?
Which bit was it?
What you just wanted to connect?
That Tahira just needed. Tahira, I'm sorry, my sister. I'm having a bit of difficulty hearing you completely, but I just wanted to add that the sort of what happened in life was just to add to Tahira's needs. There was she needed Radia. to be on the same page as her about this whole
stay in role if you can.
Speak
as you would speak as a facilitator, co-facilitator.
Okay.
But yeah. you're as in that role, you're also their brother. So obviously you can you've got more from which you want to add. Okay.
Okay, in that case I probably don't have much to add then. So Tahira, is it also, I wonder whether it's also sort of a truth for you that you wanted some acknowledgement and affirmation of your position or your view, and I wonder whether it's true that you also felt a little bit rejected and kind of, yeah, I just wonder whether that was part of the feel that I got, that you just wanted, what you wanted and needed from Radia was some degree of sort of being on the same page about this affair. I wonder how, if that resonates with you.
I felt that mostly I got hurt because I was brushed off what I'm getting, and not being recognized as how much I love this boy, and it isn't like, it's not your business. And it just was very hurtful to feel that.
Okay, thank you. This is very hurtful. You wanted the recognition that this wasn't from disregard or disrespect for her son, but that you love her son deeply, and that you need recognition of the reality of that connection with her son, that you both love him, and that it needs to be recognized. Is that right?
I'm not feeling comfortable with the recognition, because when I spoke to Radia, I spoke from deep concern and love. And then what I got was like I was not part of that. This is not your place. I am his mother, and it wasn't received as my concern, as like my own son. It was like it wasn't received well with Radia, and she became defensive rather than seeing me as showing my concern about his son.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Good. Yeah. So okay. So that's the need. So that your love and concern for her son is recognized as what is moving you. That's where you're coming from, and that's where you hold him. It would be difficult for you to hear that she is still in a place of feeling her son needs to be defended from you. Okay. So there's a need for being on the same page, to trust be trusted between you, so that your feelings or your connection with her son is understood and recognized. Okay, is that anything else you'd like to add?
Just I was hoping when I shared that with Euradia that we would be sisters and we would talk about honestly and try to figure out a way about how to help this boy. Mm. But you you just said very hurtful things and pushed me away.
Okay, so thank you. So the need for honesty, openness between you, to be able to talk straight with each other. It's really important to you. Okay. And in fact, that's a good opening for the next step that I suggest that we move to in this conversation. You know, in light of what you've just heard from each other, that to ask you to reflect back on what your role personally may have been in relation to the difficulty that has come up between you. Looking back in light of the what's happened or hasn't happened over the last few months, what can you learn that you may have, in hindsight, you can see that you might have acted differently or spoken differently or refrained from speaking as you did at some point? In other words, from the benefit of hindsight, what have you learned that that now you can see there might have been another way to have responded in that situation? And just ask each of you to take some a minute or two, just reflect on that for yourself. In other words, from, you know, the teaching for us is that in any family, in any community, between any sisters and brothers, in this way, that we look for the opportunity to bridge any separation that has, opened up and see if there's a possibility for reconciliation. And part of that process is looking for where, in hindsight, we can see we might have done better and learn from that and make a commitment to make a change in how we respond to each other. And so ask each of you to reflect for a moment and see if how you might have acted differently, understanding each other's needs, your Radia's need for trust and respect, integrity, Tahir's need for recognition of her love and concern for Radia's son, the recognition that she's actually on the same page, that you're both on the same page with each other in your care and love for the son, and your need for honest and open talking between you. So if each of you just look at those needs and see how you might have in hindsight, being able to respond in a way that could better have addressed those needs. Okay. Asking a lot to guide you here. So as soon as you feel ready, you please go ahead and share with us what comes up for you. Looking back, what might you have done differently? How much you have spoken differently?
Should I go first?
Please.
I could have listened for any pearls of wisdom that may have been coming through guidance for my son.
Have listened for them as they might have come from Tyra?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Anything else?
Yeah, it's hard because the cultures are so different, you know? Like, it's hard just to try to comprehend it.
Yeah, no, trust your heart. Just feel into it and do what you can.
Yeah, I think that's it for now. I mean, yeah, because the only other thing that comes up is like, wow, I should have established boundaries with my family like 15 years ago. You know, better boundaries, healthy boundaries. Like, why am I the sponge, you know? Why am I the one that everyone, everything rolls downhill this direction? How did I get that role? You know, I would be looking at all that. So. Why is this person all my business, you know? How is she rightfully in my business? I don't understand it. So I think that's where I'm like, oh, it's cultural, or maybe it's not cultural, and yeah, boundaries.
Yeah. So okay. So we'll come back to that in a little while. What healthy boundaries might look like.
Coming back to that later, you say?
Yeah, if that's okay. Unless you'd like to say more about it.
Nope, that's it.
Okay. All right. Good. So thank you. What comes to you that you might have done differently, looking back?
Sometimes I have a sharp one.
If you can speak more loudly, it's hard to hear.
It seems I have if I have a sharp tongue and it doesn't reflect my feeling, it becomes maybe more kind of that makes people defensive when I talk. Although it comes from a good concern and with a lot of care, but the way I talk may not be very well received, because I think the way I talk, Radia felt that I'm questioning her skills as a mother or her love as a mother, and like I have better care for her son than she does. And that's why the issue of the concern for the boy got lost, and it became like that.
Okay. So looking back, you could have done better in the way you talked about the concern that you felt for her son, that in a way that could be easier for her to hear, for Radia to hear.
Yes, I should have brought it up nicely. I should have made her understand that I'm not questioning her love for her son. I am just sharing a concern, but it didn't come out that way. I should have said it nicely, more nicely.
Okay, so you're recognizing, looking back, and see that how she might have reacted in feeling that you're really questioning her, the way in which she was being a mother to her son, and that looking back, you needed to have found a different way to express your concern that would be more creative, more helpful, more supportive for her.
Yes.
Anything else you'd like to add? Okay, thank you. All right, so moving on, I'm going to move into a different phase. And thank you both, by the way, for your integrity and honesty and with your back and share and what you've learned from this experience.
How are you? Good, how are you?
Oh, there's a...
Yeah, I'll mute.
Thank you.
Yes.
Great. And so now we want, instead of looking, you know, having looked back and having learned from the past, we need to now pay attention to how do we move forward from here, being back to the present. And I just want to ask each of you to share as it comes to you, possible ways on how you might better approach the current situation, how you might rethink the relationship between you, and how you might help each other to heal from what has happened, as well as preventing anything similar coming up in the future. Okay. So again, in your heart, just take a moment to ask Allah's guidance here. What are the possible next steps? And here you can think big, or as big or as small, doesn't matter. You just look what comes to your heart as a way in which you could begin afresh together. Ways that, things that might help you in making that shift. Recognizing the needs that each of you have expressed. Okay, as you're ready, just share. These are ideas, they're not proposals that you can be, or promises that you can be bound by at this stage. It's just to think aloud or reflect aloud what might be possible going forward. And then we can decide, you know, what might work for you both. But for this time, just creative space to share possibilities, ambitious or as cautious as you wish.
Well, I would be willing to, you know, meet for a coffee and just sort of start from the beginning. As long as we have some ground rules of the fact that we're talking about a grown man and you're speaking with his mother. no matter how close you were, you're still speaking to his mother. And that there may be a need to agree to disagree about a opinion or perception of my son's actions. But if she's willing to do that, I'm willing to meet for coffee and look at building bridges.
Okay, so there's really two ideas here that support each other. One is that you meet and begin, you make a fresh start. With the goal of bridging the gap between you. And second one that might support that is to be able to agree on a ground rule that we speak with respect to each other, particularly regarding your son, right? So these are the main two that come to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything else that occurs to you?
No.
So Tahir, what would you, what comes to your heart that would be helpful from here?
Really feel that I would like that chance to.
I'm sorry. Can you speak up?
I really feel that I would love the chance to reconcile and to sit down and be as sisters and share. Maybe include him in our conversation, show him how much we love him, and just start from there. But I really want a chance.
Okay. So you feel strongly that, you know, to be able to take the chance to sit down together as sisters that share a love for Radia's son, and to be able to potentially, I'm not sure I heard this correctly, but did you say potentially include the son in the conversation?
Yes, so Radia, you don't feel that I am backbiting or kind of saying bad things about your son, so we can talk with each other, but I really, really want a chance, and I'm sorry for the way I talked to you before.
So thank you. I hear your offering the apology for the way that you spoke that day. Looking back, it's something I feel your regret for that. So thank you. So for you, there's really two ideas here. One is, you know, you would love to sit down as sisters. And second is, you'd love to be able to include the son in the conversation. So there's direct sharing of concerns with him as well. From love and with respect. And in a way that really honors all three of you. Is that right?
Yes.
And anything else you'd like to add?
It's just so clear that you have been going through a lot, and I would like to be there for you as well.
Okay. So that's for you particularly, that the step into being in a really supportive role to help Radia with the challenges that she's been having to deal with your son, right? Without judgment or criticism, but to be loving support. Okay. Thank you. Okay, so just going through the ideas that have been identified, then these ideas seem to fit together very well. Is there anything in these ideas that are not acceptable to you, that you feel you'd need to object to? A meeting for coffee, making a fresh start, sitting down together as sisters, setting some clear rules that are agreed, that we speak with respect about the son, and even include the son so that there's opportunity to include him in a conversation in a supportive and loving way. And to really commit to be there for Radia, to be a support for her from love going forward. Any objections to any of those ideas?
None here.
Okay, Tahir? Okay, so this is what we call consent or consensus. Two more steps. One is to just be clear on how those translate into action steps from here. Would you like to set a time to meet over coffee as sisters and pick up the conversation with the goal of making a fresh start, with the accepting the ground rule of speaking with respect about the son, and being both supportive of each other and of the son. Is that something you'd like to set a time? When could that happen? And is coffee okay for you, Tahir?
Yes.
So when would be a good time for that?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow, what time? In what place? What was that?
You can choose Amazon tomorrow.
Ready?
Yep, Starbucks at noon. How about that? That's pretty international, right?
Alhamdulillah. Good. All right. And so I think we have agreement on the ground rule that you wanted. There's no preconditions. We can make that commitment and make that first step in the beginning. All right. And that could be a chance to celebrate and really make a first start, close the chapter that you've just been living through, and take the chance to begin afresh. One last thing I'd like to invite you to do is to, if you could accept each other's tauber, for how you can see in hindsight how you could act better, if you could really accept and offer your forgiveness in response to the tauber for each other. You're both willing to do that? Okay. Yes, Radia, Tahir?
Yes.
so beautiful. I will leave it to you to express in your own words at the right time in the right place, if more words are needed in that conversation. But I just want to congratulate you both and to honor you for your courage in working through this and giving yourselves the gift of a new beginning. And and also want to just plant a seed is that you might want to, after that meeting tomorrow, also decide how you would like to share it with your family. Okay. If this is a new beginning for you, perhaps not only your brother, but the others in your family may be needing to hear from you as well. That's, of course, completely up to you. But alhamdulillah, thank you both and mashallah for what you've done.
Thank you so much.
And Majid, is there anything you'd like to add here?
No, alhamdulillah. I'm very pleased with that outcome. Oh, I'm very pleased with the outcome, alhamdulillah.
All right. Well, again, thank you all. And let's finish now at our time. And if you're willing, we can take a few minutes to for you to step out of role. You're welcome back to being yourself again. You thank the sister for the honor of being able to step into her shoes for this time and commit to hold her in your prayers and to hold her in love for the that she may be able to feel the same openings as you have felt. Okay. And the same for Radia, although she's become invisible. if you could also step out of role and wish the younger sister well in, sorry, the second younger sister well in her her heart may open to be able to accept a new beginning, to be able to see where she can free herself through her own taba and address a need for herself and for her sister in bridging that gap. Okay, so as out of role, absolutely appropriate to thank the sister and pray for her to be released from the difficulty that she's been in. So questions on the process or comments on the process, and Tahir and Radia. Any observations you'd make from after stepping out of role? How did it feel for you?
It was amazing, actually. In the beginning, my heart was very tight. And as I talked to it, I was pretty much relaxed, alhamdulillah. And I hope and I pray that it feels the same for Majid's sister as, inshallah, Allah brings them together.
So it's a bigger shift than you expected took place, and you could feel that.
Yes.
Beautiful. Ready?
Yeah, I hope that it travels through space and the prayers reach them, and I hope their family has some reconciliation and peace.
Indeed, beautiful. And making that prayer means, you know, trusting Allah's wisdom and how He responds, how He can help these sisters, guide the sisters through from the separation back into the love. Okay. Any comments, questions from anyone on the process? Experiences that you had while you were holding your hearts? Yes, Majid.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
So I was, I want to ask both you and Tahira a question. How did you find Radia's conditions for meeting? What did you, Tahira and Sheikh, Tahira, how did that land on you when Radia said, these are two things, and if you're happy with that, then I'm happy to be. What was going on for you there?
What was the two things? Could
you
please refresh? What was the two things
you talked
about?
The two things were, it was to do with Hassan. What were the two things?
Accept that she's the mother.
Accept that you have to accept that you're talking to the mother. But she said something like, irrespective of your relationship with him, you have to accept that you're talking to his mother. What was the second thing? And there was another thing. But there were basically to conditions.
That we were speaking about a grown man, not a child. Yeah.
And then she said, and if you're happy to do this, then I'm happy to meet you. And I was wondering how your, if anything, went on.
What I felt mostly at the end, as we were doing the last part for the suggestions to move forward, I really felt that your sister is really asking for a chance. I think she has realized that she didn't speak well, although she her intention was well, and that she should recognize the mother and her place first. And I think she felt that she owes it. I feel that she really, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, because it was very strange for me, alhamdulillah, very powerful exercise. But I really feel that she is really trying right now for a way to open this door of the communication with the younger sister. And I hope that door opens. But she is really, really, I don't know, is that your question? This is what I felt doing.
I'm sorry, Tahira, you felt as though Radia is really trying to communicate with you.
I felt that I am really open, and I'm really, just the chance to correct the situation and not just to open the communication. I really don't like the way things are. And I realize my mistake maybe that way. Maybe I feel more maybe redemption, I don't know if the correct word, or I feel sorry about things in the past. I have new, I have a new understanding, and now I really want to make up for the past. And I need a chance. That's what I need.
Alhamdulillah, thank you for that. So that this is a really important question you brought up, Majid, and it's good that we spend a little bit of time on it. That this is the listening from the heart, the value of listening from the heart here. That party is going to be often in a place which is quite raw, you know, that they're not happy. And they can't come and be all sweetness and light necessarily at the beginning. And so Radia, thank you for playing the role realistically in that way. And and from your insight to know to play it that way. So then at the same time, I hear and respect and acknowledge that. And when I'm reflecting back to them what I heard, I'm reframing what I heard in terms of the core things that Radhi said that were really useful information in a way that could be easily heard by Tahir. Tahir, it sounds like she was hearing from a good place right from the beginning. From her strong desire to be able to bridge the gap. But that's not always the case, you know, sometimes it's essential for the facilitator to reframe, to emphasize the gift in what Radia has said, in being honest, emphasizing that her love for her son and her need for integrity in the way we communicate around difficulties, that we talk directly and constructively, with trust, with respect, all of these things. And Radia recognized that as true to what she said. I just didn't dwell on the hard edge, the harsh edge that was on how she spoke it at times, which was true to how she felt. And so I had no criticism of that, but I've no need to repeat it or to invite any criticism from anyone about it. It's important that she be able to speak her truth best she could, which she did. And then I pick up and reflect back in a way that helps her recognize the gift that she's just given in what she said, and as well as making it easier for others to hear and respond to constructively. Okay? And this is a key piece of this process, the way that the facilitators listen and don't get caught on the negatives. Okay? It's fundamental. It's exactly how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in his mediator role. He would not be digging into the negatives. If it was a matter of stopping them from fighting each other, killing each other, yeah, he'd be strong. But he'd be strong in a way that was inviting them into the love, inviting them to remember who they are and remembering the good between them. And so that same translation or reframing can be critical in a still the process, reconciliation process. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. Okay. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, it certainly does. I think because I'm so emotionally involved in it anyway, it's just really difficult for me not to get sort of sucked into all that emotion. And that's why I kind of, when Radia said it, sort of said what she said, to be honest with you, I knew that these two were perfect for the roles, because that is probably something that is that's the way that they would do right. do it. Mm-hmm. But I just felt my own self getting triggered is probably a little bit too hardcore, but I just felt I noticed it. I thought, oh God, is this going to be successful or you know, I found myself having a little bit of doubt about the process and thinking. And I expected Tahira to say, you know, well, if that's your attitude, then forget it. You know what I mean? That type of thing. But right. Alhamdulillah,
it kind right. of. But the fact that they were being invited to directly for the purpose of bridging the gap was important to her. And so that was enough to get her through. And so you have to realize the power that you wield as a mediator, because they have agreed to help for you to facilitate. So then there's a responsibility on you to really be deeply rooted in the love and to be able to speak from your heart in a way that finds the truth that is unsullied in what they say, and reflect that back, put that on the table so they can both really honor the truth that's been spoken without getting caught with the hard edge. Let those best way to and this is just so essential in terms generally with managing this relationship between your sisters. The more you can show up in that role, seeing the light in what they say, reflecting that back to them, just as part of ordinary conversation, even without a formal gathering for the purpose, then you can help them. You can help validate each one of them where they are for the good that they carry, for the love that they have for the son, and ultimately for each other that is blocked right now. And see if you might be able to nudge them in a direction, into a direct conversation that you could help with. Okay.
They have to want to, Abdul Qadir. That's what I think I've sort of half given up because they have to want to. And yes. I become irritated if they are too resistant or if they too whatever. And I do see, you know, Radi as it were, side of things. And I do see Tahira's side of things. And Tahira, at the end of the day, did make a move. She made a really big move for the way that she is. And she was, you know, she really reached out. And Radi kind of rejected that and threw it back in her face, actually. But it is also true that Radi must have been confused for so long and must have felt so betrayed, like, you know, why on earth are you not speaking? Why are you giving me the cold shoulder for how many ever months it is? I thought we had a lovely relationship. So I think I really do get it, get both of their perspectives, or at least part of it. But they are just refusing to make any move. And that's the bit that kind of triggers me. So I've kind of just left it for the time being, at least.
So your work is to get past that trigger. Get part of that irritation, because that's yours. That you're responsible for your irritation, not them. Do you understand?
This is I'm sure it's them.
This is the mirror principle. That's why we started, you know, to remind you of that. Everyone of that, because that's how it works. And this is your part with the family.
Radi and Tahira, you're killing me, man. You're wearing me down.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, is that, you know, two ladies that love each other, it's, in my experience, you know, at 51, it's almost impossible that they don't want to be back together. Two ladies that really love each other, no matter what's gone down, they're just waiting for someone to chuck them in a room, close the door, lock it, you know? Like, they just want to love each other again, but they're just, yeah. I mean, so it's So, you know, I mean, if people get caught in their bad behavior, yeah, it just, it's like the trickster's tricks win, you know, right. Because I've never met two ladies that love each other so much that didn't want to come back home ever, really.
Yeah. Yeah. So that then there is a real role here for you, that, as a brother, that, listen from the love, affirm each of them for the hurt that they've been through, and their, that they each are being astute, being in their acting from what they feel is integrity, right? And the teaching is very clear. You can't carry that to your grave. It's not, you know, I don't know how strong they are in their faith and in their trust of the teachings, but teaching is very clear. And you have to speak to them where they are. But encourage them, get them in that room. There's real light, there's real treasure to be opened up in that meeting. So don't lose hope.
Can I just add, assalamu alaikum?
Yeah, alaikum salam.
This is an issue actually that comes up a fair amount within the family, and on our Majid side, my family just isn't big enough for there to be as many issues. And yeah. This is always Majid's response is, well, if they don't want to, then what's the point? Because he does get upset, and if people talk about even if they just talk about what they're feeling and why they're upset, if Majid smells that it's just hearsay or they're listening to one person's opinion over the other, it will trigger him and he won't be able to connect anymore and listen. Because
what do you mean by that?
Yeah.
Like when your nieces were talking about what Ismail had said, because then when they reveal that it's based on what we would say nothing, when it's based on hearsay or backbiting.
Yeah,
I think it triggers Majid to the point of exasperation. And well, you know, if you're going to believe that, then there's no hope, you know.
Sorry, did you get that, Abdul Qadir? Just to be clear, so the there's other disputes amongst the family,
and it's the same thing, really.
And it's basically, from what I can see, it's based on, you know, as the Arabs say, qil wa qal. He said, she said, he said. There's no solid evidence. Mm-hmm. And what she's saying is that when I hear that two people are not talking because of qil wa qal, that really triggers me. That's what she's saying. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think it's. Yeah. I just bring it up because this whole thing has been really beautiful, alhamdulillah. And I really hope that inshallah Majid has the energy and will get to a point where he wants to bring them together, because I feel that he's the only one that can do it, really. No one else. Everyone else in the family thinks, well, that's just normal behavior. If you're upset, then you don't talk. That's fine. Yeah. Whereas I think Majid sees that there's openings for healing. And like Radia says, you know, of course, deep down they want reconciliation. They're just not admitting it. But it's something that's happening across the family in various different ways. So it's actually, I think the real key of it is Majid's reluctance to get involved. And also because in the past he has got involved and it hasn't really come to the outcome that he hoped for.
So there's a challenge, Majid. You're the real key here for the family.
In my opinion, he's the key.
Oh, so it's all my fault, is it?
No, it's not your fault. No, it's just the challenge for you. This is, you know, what Allah has given you to walk through. And part of the teaching, remember, is never give up hope. The hope is the playground of the shaitan. So you don't give that ground to him, no matter how hopeless.
But what do you do then? Just keep on...
That doesn't mean that you push your sisters. It means that you look, you make tawba for the opportunities you may have missed in the past, the way in which you may have reacted and gotten triggered in the past, the way in which you may have given up in the past. Make tawba for those things. They're not helping you. And that's good for yourself. That's just, and your first task is to love yourself, not blame yourself. Free yourself from any hint of blame by making tawba for those things. And that freedom then allows you to talk in support of each sister, with them, not against the other. And if they're backbiting or they're speaking poorly in relation to each other, you don't react to that. You listen for what's the truth that is worth saying and reflect that back to them. Find the truth in what you're saying, reflect back that and honor it. Without rubbish.
Okay. What about reconciliation then? Do I just keep suggesting that they meet and then keep getting disappointed?
No, don't be impatient about it. The timing is in Allah's hands. But just look for opportunities to be able to build the way in which you interact with each of your sisters. So work on your own relationship with each of those sisters so that you are able to honor them where they are. Honor the light that they carry where they are, instead of stopping with the places that where they get stuck or triggered.
Okay.
So that's why you have to do taba in for that triggering in yourself first, so you can help them not get triggered.
See, I'm sorry, this will be the last little point on that. I just want a bit of clarity, so when I go away, then I can. When I heard Radia say what she said, I think it probably did trigger me, because I thought Radia, not Radia, obviously my sister. I thought you're making this difficult again. You're making it. Tahira's reaching out, and you're making it difficult. That was what the thought that went through my mind.
Okay,
you're making this difficult again. And I, because of this past experience, probably I've been primed somewhat by them. I just thought, you know, like it was one of those sorts of things. So that, what would you suggest that I should have, could have done with that then?
Okay. For it to be possible to you have acted differently, you need to make tawaf for what you're now seeing, which is that you're responsible for your triggering. No one else can make us angry. No one else can make us give up. It's something about how we react to that. It leads us into hopelessness or into reacting in a way that's not constructive. So the reaction that you felt wasn't helpful, right? Or even to hold in your heart while you're listening to them. When that reaction comes up, let it go. Give it to Allah right away. Okay? And look for the light, what they're saying. Okay? Look for what's truthful and affirm. Yes, this was a really hurtful situation for you. Right? Empathize with them in how they felt about it. And affirm them in that. There's nothing wrong with their feeling. Completely innocent at that time. No judgment. Withhold judgment of anything that you would prefer they hadn't done. It's not your place. It's Allah's place. He's the judge, because he's totally pure love, pure mercy. Then he can be the judge. When we're less than that, because we still get triggered, then we have to do our own walking and really be clear in our intention, not to go with the reaction, but open the mouth when that's what's on your tongue. But open your mouth when you get to the place, I can see the truth in what she's saying, that the truth that is totally compatible with love and with mercy, with compassion. Okay, reflect that back to them so that they can feel affirmed. They can be affirmed for the light.
My triggering is my problem, not Radia's.
But, yeah, right, this is the prerequisite. Don't think about your problem with them, but with Allah. Make tawbah so that you open to him, for him to heal your heart in the places that get triggered. Was that just from all wounds, which are totally, you got pain by incident, set up that you have these trials. and you have to find the place, the way to heal by turning to Allah. Okay, so that's your work with your family, and you can pace yourself. Don't be impatient with them. Be impatient with yourself. That's good. So that you really go into the tub and ask for help from your beloved. You know, to help you with that. Remind you. You know, maybe you can also work with her if you find yourself reacting with her at any time. Invite her to make you conscious of where that happened.
I never react with Zainab. We have a perfectly flat sort of, it's always love. There is no argument, no nothing.
Okay, well, good. So if it were to come up, it would be much easier and much gentler to deal with. But what I feel between you is a gentler relationship and much more open connection of love. And so keep raising the bar with her and with anyone in your family, because this is your walking.
Okay. And
you are given this family for a reason, okay? For your own good. And then as you start to receive that good and receive the gift of your family, then you can return the gift to them by finding the right time to talk with them.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Sheikh. Thank you.
May I add something?
Yes.
The other thing I was feeling is I'm wondering if Majid, just looking at any needs he may have in the whole experience, like just to honor his needs, honor, like, you know, I need you all to be kind to each, I need you all to stop fighting, or whatever his needs are, maybe, like, if he just honors them and lets them be there and lets himself have them, maybe it would help them.
So I would reframe. I thank you for that. I think it's good input. I would reframe your statement of the need. The needs that are going to be most powerful to work with are the soul needs. And soul needs are never expressed by, I need you to do this. I need you to change. Because if I'm needing you to do something, it's actually a veil for what I'm needing from Allah. Okay? What I'm needing to find in myself. I am not dependent on my sister. I'm dependent, I rely on Allah.
No, I mean just as a guide for himself, not to say to anybody.
Okay.
Just as a guide to himself, so that he can be like, wow, I'm so angry because I need them to be together.
And okay, then so can I reframe that? Is I need the intimate connection with those that I love. Okay?
Yes.
And so he can do his side first in moving in that direction through the Tawbah, and then through learning to reframe when he speaks with them, speaking from the heart, listening from the heart. And because if I need you to do something, then people... if they're not fully enlightened, not fully surrendered to Allah, can hear that as blame, okay? And then defensive. They may not, if they're in a more open place, they may be able to hear it and accept it and give that love, but they may not. And so a safer way, a more powerful way, is to work for your own side with Allah through Tawbah to address our own need with the love first. And then when we feel grounded in that love, grounded in the intimacy with Allah, praying for help from Allah in manifesting that with his sisters.
Yes, that's
one
what I was
one as the opportunity offers. Yeah. Okay, so this is the reframing, and this is broadly applicable. It's not the way of picking on magic. It's having unique difficulties here. I think this applies to everyone. that is walking this way. I think that you've given us all a gift in being able to clarify the dynamics of our walking in this way. And I'm just very grateful for you being open and sharing this whole dynamic with us. And very much we'll keep you in our prayers going forward. Okay. And if you want to follow up at any time for help in this process, you know, please feel free. You can do it by WhatsApp or whatever, even from the UK to the US, it's free, unlimited conversation. So there's nothing to stop you connecting if you need more clarification or support or opportunity to complain or whatever. Okay.
I know it's getting late, Abdulkader, but I just have a question about the process, if I could. How important is it for in any part of the process, but especially in the second round, the reflective phase, Talba, for each party to actually say sorry to the other? Or is that not what we're really aiming for?
I don't ask people to say sorry. Okay. It was volunteered, and when you hear sorry, beautiful, acknowledge it. Of course, that's genuine Talba, it's from the heart when you say that.
Uh-huh.
And so honor it. And without criticism, without saying, well, you know, you're sorry for something else, or, you know, don't point to the anything that may be missing. What matters is that they've started to take responsibility and that they're apologizing for anything is a big deal. And
can you just expand on why you don't ask people to say sorry?
I didn't ever ask them to say sorry. There was one time when I acknowledged when Tahar had offered an apology and said, I'm sorry. I forget which one it was now. One of them said, expressed, I'm sorry for so-and-so during the second round. And so I acknowledged that and affirmed it. Because it needs to be affirmed immediately when someone offers an apology. And it was too soon to ask the other if they also accepted it. I just accepted it because I felt it was a gift for all of us that they did that. And it allows them to feel affirmed without having to wait till later, till the process is finished and acceptance and forgiveness can be extended, which is, I wait till the end for that, when all the differences have been settled to the extent that both people are happy and ready to celebrate, and ask them to, if they're willing to forgive. So that I ask for, not the sorry part. Because in the second round, the reflective phase, that form is, you avoid, because so often people mistake Talba as something where you have to blame yourself first. And that word blame is often used in translations of the teachings. But the deep meaning of Talba isn't blaming yourself. It's releasing yourself from blame by acknowledging and what you've come to see as something that was not the best you could have done, at least in hindsight. So Talba is turning to Allah. It's returning to Allah and accepting His forgiveness. And knowing that whenever we turn to Him, He forgives what we're making Talba for. And if it's sincere and from our heart. Don't ever ask for sorry. But ask them in a way that emphasizes, is this something you could have done differently or said differently or avoided saying or doing in hindsight, now that you know what you know, now that you've heard what how difficult it's been for the other or for both of you, for everyone involved, depending on the size group that you're dealing with. Ask them to step into a learning process. What have you learned from this? Now looking back, how could you see you might have acted differently? And there's honor in learning. Okay? There's no shame. So you don't invite them to into this self-flagellation that sometimes people, some people mistake for tapa. It's a very painful form of tapa. Its intention may be good, but it is a very slow and arduous and painful way to go about it. And it's not necessary. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying it's not necessary. And it's not efficient. There's a better way to do it, and that's going directly to Allah, knowing He is the forgiver. He longs to forgive you. He's waiting for you to come to Him with tawbah so He can forgive you. And He set up this whole situation so you could make that return. Okay? And be grateful.
Thank you. In your opinion, then, at the closure and celebration point where you say you invite everyone to forgive what has been acknowledged in hindsight as shortcomings, if no one acknowledge, if no one says outright, oh, I'm sorry, or accepts the apology, would you say that there isn't that closure then, or can there still be closure, yeah, if it's not said with the tongue?
The word sorry doesn't have to be said. They may never say it. Some people say it, some people don't. But as long as they are willing to forgive from their side, what everyone else has acknowledged they could have done better, right? Then that's enough. You have made the forgiveness. What's necessary for forgiveness to be explicit between different people is that someone has at least acknowledged they could have done better. Don't have to say sorry. And it's a gift if they do, because there's a sincerity of heart that can get expressed that way. But sorry can also get twisted. I'm sorry if you feel that way. Sorry, yeah, can get complicated, right? So it's not a magic word. If it comes from a sincere heart, beautiful. But don't require it of anyone, because they may not be ready to say it. But if they're ready to acknowledge they could have done better, it's enough. Mm-hmm. Even though we can see they could have acknowledged more than they did, it doesn't matter. That first thing that they take responsibility for is magic. That changes the tone in the group from fight to reconciliation. That's where the turning point is. Okay.
Thank you.
Sometimes, to the degree that sometimes in groups that I've led in Silva process, the celebration will just burst out right away when people have said that. That's what they are waiting for. And when everyone has said in one way or another that they're sorry, that people understand what that means. And in some cultures, they're quicker to that than others, and they'll be wanting to celebrate right away. They know that the relationship has been healed already to the extent that they don't even need the agreement on how to move forward from here, because the restoration means to them that the family, the community is restored, and they know how to work together as a family. And they know that they can pick that up and they can address the needs that need addressing. Okay. So beautiful. If people want to celebrate then without any agreement worked out in detail, sometimes it's so strong, you've got no choice. You just have to celebrate with them and trust them to find their way with what they have and be grateful for that.
Thank you.
Okay, is there anything else before we finish? I think we're abundantly over time, and really thank you for the extra time that you've taken. And if there's anything not covered, we will have one more session where we can reflect on related issues in relation to the Islamic teachings and in relation to putting a little bit more emphasis on the shura aspect of Salah. And how Shura can be used independently for inclusive and inclusive governance. And so we'll talk a bit about that in the next session as well. But meantime, I invite you to give me brief feedback, just a few words. What was the highlight for you? What is still puzzling you in terms of what we covered? How we could do better going forward? I'd love to hear all of those things. Text or short email, whatever you can get done in a minute or so. Okay. And then the other thing is the homework questions that have been set. I think you're in a place where as soon as you can find the chance to adapt this process to the reality of what you feel capable of at this point in your walking, then be bold, let out. You don't do it in a way that you feel there's high risk of people being emotionally hurt. You don't feel ready to handle that. You look at lower risk situations where you can make light of it if it doesn't work, okay? Look for those opportunities, and certainly in your own life, your own relationships, where you can see work to be done from your side, do that work until you can approach the other person and affirm them and give them love and empathy in a way that hasn't been possible before. All right, and any of those fulfills the commitment that I'm asking for you, from you for the homework, to write that up and send it. It doesn't have to be perfect. Just I need to know you're in process around it and finding a way to begin to apply what you've learned here into your life. That's how we know we've learned something, is when it starts to change our lives. Okay. And that's what I pray for you. All right. So